Let me raise a few questions regarding Parshas Toldos. And we'll see if the Ramban will address these questions. Obviously, I've seen the Ramban, so that's why I'm asking these questions in specific. Number one, Bechora. Is it fiscal? Is it monetary meaning? Or is it spiritual? And why does Esav sell the Bechora? Question number two. Why is there so much emphasis in the parasha on the eating of meat? Of course, in the Berzon family, that's not a question. I mean, we love meat. But for Yitzhak Avinu, it's a little bit much. Question number three, why the love for Esav? And by the way, when I ask that question, I'm not just addressing Yitzhak. Because what we're going to see tonight in the Ramban is that even Rivka had a natural tendency, which she had to overcome, to love Esav. Question number four, which may seem a little banal, but it gets very significant here, and a tremendous machlokes between the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, was Yitzchak rich or poor? Question number five, Vayisrotzutzu, etc. And then her dramatic response, Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem. A pasuk that we don't find anywhere, only by Rivka Imenu. What is the significance of Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem? Lama Zanochi, she says. What does that mean? And there seems to be some deeper meaning here below the surface. Question number six. The issue of Yitzchak's blindness. Is it normal? Old age? Or is it part of a divine plan? Before we learn the Ramban, allow me to say a few words of introduction about the Ramban. You know, I become somewhat existentially connected to the Ramban. On one level, the Ramban's parshanut, his dedication to every single word of the text, and perhaps even more so to the context, is just amazing. And what's phenomenal about learning the Ramban is that almost every single Ramban you're going to learn is a critique. So it's always lumdish. You know, what did the Ramban find objectionable about the commentaries, whether it's the commentary of Rashi, whether it's the Ibn Ezra? So you're always involved in a machlokas. So what did the Ramban think? What was his critique? What was his objection? And how can we perhaps understand it from a different perspective? So this is something in Parshas Toldos that we're going to see with a very heavy dosage. Over and over again, the Ramban critiquing. But the second thing I find phenomenal about the Ramban, and again we see it in this parasha in a very, very abstruse, a very high profile way, is that the Ramban, as much as he's committed to look at the parasha from a perspective, the pasuk even, the word even, from a perspective of pshuto shel mikra, at the same time, I would almost call the Ramban a schizophrenic, sort of. I hope there are no shrinks in the audience tonight. But he's at the same time always looking for a deeper meaning. There's got to be something underlying it. So you'll always see the word "oh." You know, when you see the word "oh" in the Ramban, you know he's shifting gears. You know, let's find something deeper. Okay, that's all by introduction. Let's begin. Vayisrotzutzu habanim b'kirba. Something is going on here. This is not a usual pregnancy. By the way, my daughter-in-law is already 2 weeks overdue. So, just on that note, she knows that something is going fluky here, and then she says imkain. You know that phrase imkain, when you see it in the Gemara. Or in a Rishon, you know. But when you see it in the Torah, what's imkain? You know, imkain what? You know, imkain. Like, therefore. And then finally, lama ze'anochi. Also very, very ambiguous words. A very a very difficult phrase to interpret. And finally, as I said at the outset, the drama reaches its apex in Vatelech Lidroshes Hashem. What is that all about? Finally, she gets a response. Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bivitnech ushnei leumim neayach yiparedu, etc., etc. And you get the feeling that somehow that pasuk is going to answer the questions of Rivka im kein lama ze anochi. Let me begin by reading Rashi. The Ramban quotes part of Rashi, but not the whole. Vatomer im kein. Gadol tsar ha'ibur. So the im kein, according to Rashi, is the pain, the great excruciating pain of this pregnancy. And that, I think, is going to be accepted according to all the Mefarshim. But now the waters get rough. Lama ze anochi. Rashi says, Misave u mispaleles al hirayon. As if to say, wasn't it foolish of me? You know, I desired this pregnancy. That's a very harsh kind of claim to put into the mouth of Rivka. Vatelech lidrosh, where's she going? Excuse me. Says Rashi, lebeis midrosh shel shem. Shame is the Navi of the time. Again, without asking questions about why Yitzchak couldn't have been approached, for that you'll have to see the Netziv as he touches on a very unique relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak. But in any event, Rashi says she went to Shem. That's where you find out all the secrets. Lidrosh es Hashem, says Rashi, she yagid la matehei b'sofa. What's going to happen? What's going on at the end of the road? Reveal to me the destiny. So in effect, Vatelech Lidroshes Hashem, according to the approach of Rashi, means Nevuah. She's looking for the word of a Navi. And somehow, she believes that the word of the Navi, as he reveals to her the deeper meaning in what's going on, is going to assuage her pain. Because again, Rashi says explicitly that Im Kain, she doesn't know what to do with herself. She's beside herself because of the excruciating pain of the pregnancy. Says the Ramban. After quoting Rashi, I'm going to skip the first line. Ve'inenu nochon. Usually the Ramban presents his argument, but here he doesn't. I think the answer is obvious. Rashi's adding praying. Rashi's adding desiring. Im kein, if this is so, then why am I davening? Why am I desiring this pregnancy? But all that is left out of the text. Okay, let's see if the Ibn Ezra can make a better stab at it. Im kein, says the Ibn Ezra, Kishol es hanoshim. She took a seker. She asks around amongst the women. Is this normal? Im irlam kacha, you girls have been pregnant before. For me, it's a first round. Is this a normal pregnancy? Is this what I should be anticipating? Vatomar no lo. They told her this, you know, pregnancy is rough, but not the way you're describing it. Vatomar, and then she said, Im kein. If that's the truth, and this is unusual, it's not the minog, lama ze anochi, what's the meaning of this hirayon mishuneh, this very strange pregnancy? Here the Ramban is a little bit more outspoken in his critique against the Ibn Ezra. V'hine akosuv chaser v'enenu sholem b'pirush hazeh. Meaning there's a whole paragraph here that you have to add before the word im kein. Yeah. What happened? She went to ask the ladies, you know, what's going on? Is this normal? Is this unnormal? Vanochon b'yeinai, says Ramban, to be absolutely committed to the words of the text without having to add a whole, you know, a whole flowery thing. Ki Amra, she said, Im Kain, Yeli, meaning Im Kain, don't add anything. Im Kain, if this pregnancy is such, Lama Ze Anochi, oh, here, listen to the Ramban. Lama Ze Anochi Ba'olam. Now, why am I? Meaning, why do I exist? Halavai ain't any. I would rather have not been born. Sha'amus or Shalo Yisi. I'd rather die than face this excruciating pain. Or alternatively, never have been born. Again, on one level, the Ramban, in a sense, protects himself or the pasuk against the critiques by not having to go too much beyond the words of the text. But on the other hand, the drawback here is that he's putting words into Rivka's mouth which are so shocking that Rivka Imenu would say, I'd rather die. I mean, doesn't she have the faith in Almighty God to believe that there's a purpose in life despite the excruciating pain? Perhaps this is the question of the Maharal Prague, which is brought down here in footnote number 9 in the Hadre Kodesh that I keep referring to. He says, Gam Pirusha Shal Ramban Lo Nireh. It doesn't appeal to me, says the Maharal Prague. Ki Eich Tomar Lama Hi Ba'olam. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Bra'a Shetiyah Ba'olam. And it's almost like denying the divine will of her being in the world. But I don't believe that the Ramban means that she's asking a philosophical question and she should be taken literally, that she really wants to die. I think what the Ramban is saying is that her feelings, as they poured forth, Lama Ze Anochi, express the moment of excruciating pain. This is worse than death. But now the story gets even more exciting. Vatelech Lidrosh es Hashem. And Rashi says, where did she go? To the Beis Medrash of Shem for what? For Nevuah. In other words, the word Doresh, according to Rashi, means prophecy. You know, people go to all sorts of, you know, kosher or non-kosher places and methods to try to find out the future. You know, the crystal ball. So Rivka went to a Navi, went to Shem. The Ramban objects against Rashi's comment, because that's not what the word Lidrosh means. The word Lidrosh, and the Ramban is going to prove it from Tanakh, well, specifically, Lidrosh as Hashem does not mean Nevuah, but rather it means Tefillah. Says the Ramban, V'lo matzasi drisha Eitzel Hashem, to be Dorish Hashem. What does it mean to be Dorish Hashem? Rak lehispalel. And he brings 3 proofs. He probably had a lot more in his back pocket. Dorashti es Hashem v'anani. Darshuni v'chayu, meaning pray and then you will live. Chay oni medroshet lachem. And again, chay oni means give me life because I pray for life. And these are the Ramban's proofs that the word Doresh means what? Means prayer. So just to summarize, according to the Ramban, it's not that she's seeking knowledge, information, prophecy, but rather Doresh means she's seeking God's help. How? Through prayer. And the problem is, with the Ramban's pshat, as we'll soon see in the Ran, is that there are many psukim in Tanakh, the Ran quotes a few of them, which prove conclusively that the word Doresh means to go to a Navi, to to seek out information from a prophet. But before we see the Ran's objection, let's just read a little bit further. What is Hashem's response to this drisha? Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bivitneich, etc. Says the Ramban, hodia lo shelo tefachet. Yes, I understand that this pain is worse than death, but don't be afraid. Ki ba'avur shehoisam uberes ta'omim who aritzus hased v'bitna ki derech noshim lo. It's interesting, the Ramban in his first interpretation of this pasuk chav gimel, I think is very much along the lines of the Ibn Ezra that we discussed before. She wants to know if this is normal, and somehow, if she finds out it's normal, she'll be calmed down. You know, people are in a state of shock. They see physiological phenomenon. They're absolutely overwhelmed with fear. They can't handle it. What is this? Now, you and I know, I don't want to even say the word, you know, what we're always afraid of, you know, in our context. But whatever it is, such an excruciating pregnancy, who knows what it means? But if she would find out that within the biological, you know, medical world, this is normal, that would calm her down. So Hashem responded to her prayers about the pain, the excruciating pain, and gave her enough information that would alleviate her pain. That's the first pshat of the Ramban. But as I told you at the outset, the Ramban on one end is a parshan, and he's committed to Pshuta Shemikra. On the other hand, he always wants to find a deeper meaning in what's going on. V'itachem. And I have a feeling that the Ramban prefers his second pshat, because from the perspective of the first pshat, the Torah should have said, Hashem should have said, you're pregnant, you're having twins, and what shnei goyim bevitneich? Why all this, you know, like philosophy or history, you know, and the insights into history? Who are you carrying? And these are the progenitors, these are the fathers of two different nations. What's that all about? Just tell her she's pregnant with twins, and gandhi, that's the end of the story. The Ramban gives a deeper meaning. V'itachen, what was Hashem's response? Sheyomar od, ki bavur heyosam, shnei goyim sonim v'nolchamim zebozeh. You should know, you're not just carrying twins. You're carrying two nations that are enemies, rabid enemies, that will be military forces against each other for all of the history of mankind. Esav b'tchilas yitzirasa, Asu b'tchilas yitzirasa meriva. Hashem created this friction from the very beginning of the formation of these two twins. And now the Ramban is flexing the muscle of Maisa v'sima lebanim, Remez l'mashiyah b'neim basof. Remez means a nevuah. And once that Nevu is given over to the Navi, nothing else has to be done. It's clinched. We discussed this in the past about the Ramban Shita, myself, Asimul and Bonim. There are many Rambans and Pashas Toldos that I left out for tonight because they're all about myself, Asimul and Bonim. The whole parish is full of it in the Ramban. We just get this one. And the reason we get this one is because the Ramban finishes, he says, V'ata, once she got this Nevuah, there was no longer necessity for the friction within her womb. Yanuchu, they'll be quiet. V'timtza manoach, v'hashket l'nafsha. She'll be quiet. In other words, it'll all quiet down. The Ran interprets the pasuk of Lidrosh es Hashem according to Rashi, mipi nevuah, nevim. Oh, or perhaps she herself would experience nevuah. That's Lidrosh Hashem. His bodhidah bi'atzma, she meditates. I'm not recommending meditation here, but his bodhidah bi'atzma be'inyan, in such a way, yachol ruach Hashem lefama. Lefama means it'll begin to descend upon her and move her spirits. V'agidu ma'yeh besofa, and she'll find out what's happening at the end. Kidirei Rashi Zal. And again, we're going to have to assume that according to Rashi, the answer to her question is, it wasn't foolish for you to desire pregnancy, this pregnancy? And the answer is, it wasn't foolish at all, because there's a deeper meaning and a higher purpose behind this pregnancy. It's all divine. Then he says, V'afal pi she'haramban zal, Pirish Ramban, even though the Ramban says it's a different way of understanding it, but lo nischaver bepirusho, I don't understand this pirush. Mitzad she'omar, the Ramban's claim, ki lo motza drisha l'Hashem rak l'spalel, that the word doresh l'Hashem only refers to what? To prayer? And he quotes the three psukim of the Ramban. Then he accuses the Ramban, this is very heavy-handed, l'fi anira nishmat mimenu mikra. He forgot about a pasuk. By the way, again, I hope you don't mind my prejudice here, but the Ramban doesn't forget psukim. I don't know, and again, this is not an art scroll book I'm writing here. You know, this is not an art scroll biography. I am telling you, the Ramban does not forget psukim. Trust me on that. That's all the trust I ask for. The Ramban has Tanakh. I mean, to say in the palm of his hands would be an understatement. The Ramban could have created the computer for the Tanakh. But there are two psukim that the Ran thinks are objectionable from the Ramban's perspective. One in Malach, they're both in Malach. Vayomer HaMelech El Chazoyel, the Melech takes sick, Kach Biyodcha Mincha, Lech L'Kras Ish Alokim, go over to the Navi, find out if I'm going to live or die, V'darashtas Hashem Yoso. Oh, V'darashtas Hashem, there's the secret formula. There's where Rashi finds Drishal Hashem is Nevuah. That's question number one. Question number two, Lichu Dirshu Bibal Zavuf. That's not a good place to go for Nevuah. Elohei Ikron, Im Echye Micholi Zeh, V'elo Drishos Eino, Einon El Adas Mirashis Achris. To know from the beginning what's going to happen at the end. V'afzu Kain. And that's what it means here in Vatelech Lidrus Hashem regarding Rivka. Ki nichsafal adas, she desired to know, mashemora olav zehayinyan. What is this pregnancy teaching her? It's so zar, it's so foreign, it's so alien, akore leha, and it's happening to her. Rabbeisai, if you pardon my saying so, the Ran is not asking anything on the Ramban. Because if you're careful, the first pasuk, I don't even know why the Ran even raised the question. Notice the first pasuk that says, Vidarashtes Hashem, what's the next word? Meoso. The pasuk itself says, go to this person. When you're referring to prayer, prayer is between man and God. You don't go to a person to be Doresh Hashem. If the Pasuk says, and the Ramban wouldn't deny this, also, go ask him, that's Nevuah. Then Rashi is justified, but in our Pasuk, it doesn't say, Vateich L'Doresh Hashem, Me'oso. No person is mentioned. The second objection of the Ran is a little bit more sophisticated, I grant you. But again, look at the base. It says, Lechu Dirshu Bi Baal Zvuv. The Beis in Bi Baal Zvuv means Bi Doresh from. It doesn't mean Lidrosh S. S meaning prayer. It's a direct relationship between man and God. Bi refers to some other agency, some intermediary. That's Nevu. However, Abaisai, I have to tell you this. And I apologize, it's not on your page. But the Ramban himself apparently agrees to Rashi elsewhere. When I say apparently, this is a question from my friend Rav Margolin in Hadre Kodesh. He has what's called Hashlamot in the back. And he quotes the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi says, Kanira Yesh Stira Bidire Ramban Atzmo. The Ramban himself contradicts himself. And he quotes the Ramban in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Hey, Achre Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, He mitzvah Sheneilech Acharat Soso, Umimenu Levado Nidrosh Kol Nelam, Vinishal Kol Asid. Sounds like we're asking for Nevuah, for the future. Ke'inyan, as it says, tell me if this rings a bell, Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem. Our pasuk says the Mizrahi, the Ramban himself quotes our pasuk, and he uses it in the context of Mimenu Levado Nidrosh Kol Nelam V'Nishal Kolosit. And then, after quoting the Mizrahi, so the Hadrei Kodesh says, Tzarech Bir God. I think we should ask a fundamental question. The Ramban identifies Lidrosh Es Hashem as tefillah, as prayer. What is prayer? And I believe that the answer to that question is that man is faced with experiences, with episodes, with things that happen in his life that defy his understanding. Man is in a constant state of questioning. Why is this happening? Not just why is it happening. I'm not talking about Tzadik Viralo. Forget about that. Not why do I deserve this. But what's the deeper meaning? I'm in the dark, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things are happening like the speed of light. Things are descending upon me. And I'm not talking about the snow in Canada. But in my own personal life, things are happening that make no sense. I'm bewildered. I'm overwhelmed. Give me a glimpse of hadracha, of guidance. Tell me it's part of a destiny, it's part of a divine plan. Enlighten me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is all about. That's what Lidrosh Es Hashem means according to the Ramban. The first pshat of the Ramban, Lidrosh Hashem, she's praying because the pain is too severe. She cannot tolerate it. Hashem has to come and alleviate her pain. So you know what he tells her? Calm down, Mrs. Rivka. Your friends on the left and the right, if they had twins, they'll tell you this is exactly what you should expect. And then the Ramban says, you know what? I'm not so happy about that. Shnei goyim bevitneich. Shnei lumim yayich yiparedu. Says Ramban on a much deeper level. You know what the nature of prayer is? When the Ramban says in Sefer Dvar, he says, Mitzvah Shenelech Acharat Soso, Umimenu Levado Nidrosh, that language is a language of tefillah, of prayer. Levado Nidrosh. Don't look here and there. Go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask him. Kol Nelam. Nela means, I don't understand. What is this all leading to? I'm in a confused world. You know, we have a concept in the mystical world called the Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava means that everything that happens in this world leads to a certain goal. It's part of a divine plan. Again, it's beyond our comprehension. That's what's called in philosophy teleology. There's a purpose. God has a purpose. And you and me and all of Klal Yisrael on individual and the group level, there is meaning behind the madness. And this is what we ask Hashem, Horeini Nos Drachecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says it. Show me a little bit of where this is all going. Is it anarchy, Chas V'Sholom? Everything in life is just meaningless? No. Yes, Hashem says, Shnei goyim bevitneich. There's something very profound going on over here. The future history of the Jewish race, and not only the Jewish nation, but perhaps the world, is being written, inherent,
in your pregnancy, Rivka. That's the answer to your tefillah.
All right, let's go on because, you know, the clock is our worst enemy, as I always say. The next Ramban that I want to discuss with you is we're going to see here a major, major machlokas here between the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra. I've never seen the Ramban so harsh on the Ibn Ezra. And yet, at the face of it, the Ibn Ezra has compiled a heck of a lot of evidence to support his claim. And as I asked you at the start, is Yitzchak rich or poor? And what is the nature of Bechora? So look at the psukim. All right, we're going to open up to Perek Chaf Hei. And we'll start with Pasuk Lamed Beis, which is not on your page. It says, Vayomer Esav Hine Anochi Olech Lamus. Velama ze li b'chora. So again, if I ask you the question, why is Esav favoring, why is he in favor of selling the b'chora? Because he's about to die anyway. Now we'll see in the Ramban why he thinks he's about to die. It's going to be very important for life insurance brokers. Anyway, then it says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayomer Yaakov Hishava li kayom, Vayimkar's b'charasa. That's Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Good. So again, at this point, ask yourself the question, why does Esav agree to sell the b'chara? He's going to die. But then we look at Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Whole new story, very complicated Pasuk, with a lot of extra words. V'yakov nasan le'esav lechem u'nezid adashim, v'yochal v'yesht v'yokom Vayelech. I mean, it's Vamish like a list of verbs here. And then, Vayivez Esav es HaBechora. All right, Vayivez means that the Bechora had no chshivus for him. So, you're starting by telling me a whole story that he's going to die and therefore he sells the Bechora. Now you tell me a whole other story. Vayivez Esav es HaBechora. The Bechora really didn't mean anything to him. So again, we're going to see the Ramban on two different levels. As I told you, on one level of pshat in the real world, and then looking for deeper meaning. First, the Ramban says that there's a pasuk in Mishle that really should bother us about Esav's behavior. The pasuk in Mishle says, "Buz l'davar yachbalo." And what this pasuk means, according to the Mitzudas David, is "Hamavaze ma." Mi mitzvah Hashem who chovel biatzmo. So what do we say about Esav? Is he a masochist? Why is he doing this? And then the Ramban adds, aval kvar omar hatam shebavuro noos. I'm just going to put this on the side here for a second. Noos. What does the word nos mean? How would you translate nos? I think nos means it finds favor. Finds favor in his eyes. By the way, can you see me?
Yeah?
I don't know what you see behind me. Joe, where's Joe? I don't see Joe. Joe, am I in jail? Okay. So he says the following, Bavuro knows Limechira, and why is he willing to give up the Bechora? The answer is, Mipnei Shaya Holech Lamus. He's going to die, but Tzudo Achayos. You know, as I say, you know, the occupation of hunting is what we call high risk. You know, they're going to charge him a lot on the insurance policy. The karavushi amus bechayoviv. You know, ask any accountant how many hunters die at young ages. They'll tell you the percent. The statistics are very high. So he's going to probably die before his father. His father dies at the ripe old age of 175. He's not going to live that long. No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's I'm wrong. The ein la bechorah shum maila rak achrei haav. In other words, from a financial perspective, the Bechor is only worth something if you survive your father. But if you die before your father, then the estate, the Yerusha, is divided equally amongst all the Yarshim. So, you know, Esav makes a quick calculation. Chances are I'm not going to outlive my father. I'm this high-risk, hazardous job. And therefore, what's the Bechor worth to me? Umatoyel HaBechor. So certainly at this level, the Ramban is explaining the Parsha on a very straightforward human sense. We're not looking deeper and deeper. We're just combining two psukim. The first pasuk, Hinei Anochi Olech Lamus, and finally Vayivez. And what's Vayivez? He realizes there's nothing to lose. He has nothing to lose. The Bechor is not going to be his anyway. He's going to die before. But you know what? The Ramban is not happy with this. And I'll tell you why. Look at the pasuk. Look at the words in the pasuk. There's so much going on in this pasuk. Vayochal, vayesh, vayokam, vayelech, vayivez. What's that all about? That's not all about the fact that hunting is hazardous. V'yomar v'yochal v'yesh v'yokal v'yelch v'yivez. What's this all about? Now all of a sudden the Ramban, as I said, switches his personality. He puts on his spiritual, deeper meaning thinking cap. And he says the following, ki achar sha'ochal v'shosa. What happens after he eats and he drinks? Okay, he was very hungry. Yaakov gives him the nezid adoshim. Fine, he's satiated. So what should he do now? I guess, chazar asad el tzedo. What else should he do? I mean, you know, is he supposed to sit there for the rest of his life? He finished the meal, Gandik, you know. I don't know if he benched or not, I can't tell you. But he went back to hunting. Ah, no, the Torah wants to tell us, says the Ramban, that we have to understand on a deeper level, what the Torah is trying to convey to us is not simply that he went back to his hunting, you know, he got it from the table. I mean, that doesn't tell me a thing. But rather, Zo Sibas Bizi HaBechor. Inherent in these words is a deeper appreciation of what the Bechor is all about and what makes Esav tick, or what doesn't make him tick. Ki ein chefetz b'ksilim, and here the Ramban is paraphrasing a pasuk in Tanakh, and he's calling Esav a ksil, which, by the way, the word ksil in the language of Shlomo HaMelech means a lot more than just an imbecile. A ksil means a cynic who has no meaning, deeper meaning in life. It's all superficial. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you're gone. They have no perception of the long-term value of life. That's all they're concerned about is today, today, today. No concern about tomorrow. Therefore, Vayivez Esav Zabchora. We're talking not about Esav's behavior. We're talking about his system of values. We're talking about his priorities in life. The Bechorah as a spiritual entity means nothing to him because it's futuristic. What's important now is what is important to Esav is now. And here the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra. Now look at all the proofs of the Ibn Ezra. I don't think we're going to have time to read through the Ibn Ezra tediously, meticulously, word for word. But let's just get a feeling for what he says. Rabbi Avram ishtamesh b'kan mi'od. That's a very heavy accusation. Ma'od, he calls it. He's really off the derech here. She'omar ki biza ha'b'chora b'avur she'ra she'ein mamon li'ov. Not because Esav calculated he would die in his father's lifetime, but because simply there was no money in the pot. Yitzchak was a pauper. V'rabim yismu, and those who will ask a question, how could it be? The Torah itself says that Avram left him a tremendous Yerusha. The Ozav l'Avram, Momon Rav, Ukiilo Rob, you may, but these people who ask this question, what, they've never seen anyone who was a rich guy in his younger years, and later on he loses all his money. That could happen. V'ha'ed, Shaya Yitzchak, and I'll prove to you that Yitzchak was a pauper. And really, he puts together, Ibn Ezra, very creative. He puts together A, B, C, and D. You churn it out. And Esav was certainly
who is certainly poverty stricken. Number one, Oev es Esav. Why does the Torah testify? Why does Yitzchak love Esav? Bavur Tzedo. The Ilu Hoylem Lechem Rab Beis Aviv. If they had even 1/5 of the bakeries on Bathurst, is then he would be eating bread, whole wheat, I hope, and not begging his son Esav to go out and hunt. Who nichbad b'yenav? After all, he had a great deal of covet for Esav. Is lo machars b'choraso b'avur nizid adoshim? I mean, number one, why is he desperate for meat? Number two, why is Esav going to sell his b'chora if you assume that Yitzchak is wealthy? I mean, certainly Esav would desire that b'chora. Again, he's not working with the Ramban that Esav thinks he'll never live to see it. The imhaya avid b'chol yom ochel mat amim. If indeed Yitzchak was rich and every day was eating in a 5-star hotel, we used to eat in cow in the roof. Again, it's showing gestarben, but that was the fanciest hotel restaurant I ever got to live in. I mean, Mamma Mia was a close second because the owner of Mamma Mia used to come out and serenade us sometimes with his own guitar in Italian. I mean, that was. Did anybody ever eat Mamma Mia? Okay, forget. Ma tam yomrei lov havili tzayid. In such a rich house, he's got to get. He has to bring him tzayid. And not only that, lomalo hoy Yaakov godim chamudos. Rivka is so desperate, she has to steal Esav's bagadim chamudos. And not only that, when she sends him on his way, lo nasno lo imo kesev zav laderech. And he says later on, Yaakov Yidav, and also lechem lechol beged lilbo. He's basically begging from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the bare necessities of life. Lomo lo sholcha lo hon v'yohevis oso. And the answer is that Yitzchak Levinu lost all his possessions, all his wealth. The Ivrei Lev, look at that phrase that the Ibn Ezra uses to those who would argue with him. He calls them Ivrei Lev. Blindness of the heart. That's a strange phrase. Yachshavu ki ha'osher ma'ala gedola tzidikim. I mean, for sure, Yitzchak is a great tzaddik. He has to be wealthy. You know, and how could it be that Yitzchak is a great tzaddik and he's poor, he's poverty stricken? The Yine Elio, Yochiach Elio was poor as a church mouse. He was pretty big. The old Yisrael and they all, Lama Chiso Shem Mamel, this is tzaddik v'ralo? I mean, how could it be? So says the Ibn Ezra. If they can ask that question, it can't be that Yitzchak is poverty stricken. So then please tell me, why is he blind? So you'll tell me some drash, meaning that, you know, the tears from the angel that get bothered, went into his eyes, blah, blah. He says, but that's not something that I can accept. So if Hashem decides that Yitzchak has to be stricken with blindness, then he has to be stricken with poverty. I don't have kashas on that. And these are the words of the Ibn Ezra. Very convincing evidence that Yitzchak had no money in the house. And that's why Esav sold the Bechorah, because there was nothing to get from the Bechorah anyway. And look how the Ramban attacks him. Vani tamea. You see, I bolded those two words. Vani tamea. But I can't believe this statement. Ki iver ene sichlo bazeh. Who blinded the Ibn Ezra? Uses the same phrase and boomerangs back onto the Ibn Ezra. Who blinded the Ibn Ezra's mind? Avrami niachlohon rav. He inherited from his father a tremendous wealth. The Avad Ha'osha Ahu Miyad Kodem Ayin Azeh? Is it possible that, again, he calculates the very few years that passed since Avram's death? The boys were only 15 years old at the time of the stealing of the brachos. So what, all the wealth was gone? Was eaten up in that short amount of time? And that's why, I can't believe it. Ki Adov Razel Yabinu Reim Kodem Ayos Esav Noshim. Fine, we're not going to go through all this. If we had time, we would. In any event, the Ramban deflects every one of the proofs of the Ibn Ezra that Yitzchak Avinu was poor. The Ein Eluk Akdivrei Schok. Wow, he calls the Ibn Ezra's pshat like schok, like he's joking with us. There's nothing to it. To say that Yitzchak was wealthy and then he lost his wealth makes no sense. And not only that, we find that
that Hashem blesses Yitzchak with wealth. So Heshev Heni? Could it be that after Hashem blessed him, he became poor? So you could say that there are tzaddikim who never are poor, but you can't say that Hashem blessed the tzaddik and then he loses all his possessions. Ki birchas Hashem hi ta'asher. He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. And not only that, ha'oyah ha'avos kulam kimalachim. How are the avos treated by other kings, of current kings? They were treated as if they themselves were kings. Vayim lifnei v'karsim yon bris. And it says, vayishavu ish li'achiv. V'imay Yitzchak ra ha'mazol mi'avi nichzei aviv. If he was a poor man. Echa amru ra'o ra'idu ki hay Hashem imcha. And then they declare, we see that God is with you. And therefore, the Ramban comes full swing back, and this you'll find, I think, on the second page. It's the end of your first page. I underlined it. Avol bizui habechora liyesov liachzorius libo. But rather, the bizui habechora is not because there was no money in the pot, but because of his achzorius, meaning his callousness, his I wouldn't call it cruelty, but his negative attitude towards anything that's of value that belongs to the long range future, but it has nothing to do with finances. The tochein ki pishnayim abchorim mishpat Torah lohayi came lefnim. It could even be possible that the bechora was not about getting 2/3 in the case of two sons of the Arusha, not before the Torah. It's all spiritual. To inherit his father's maila, his level, his srara, his authority as the next link in the chain of a nation, of forming a nation. And here, Rabosai, I want you to turn to page 2. And if you see the second paragraph, Atzayir Asher Hoya Befiv, I underlined quite a bit of it. He says the following. What's this whole business about Tzayid and Yitzchak loves Esav, ki Tzayid Befiv? Well, what's the emphasis on all this Tzayid business and the eating of meat over and over and over again? He says, again, watch how he wears two hats. He says, Ki kein yasu hasorim v'amalachim bochrim b'tzayid b'chol machal. You know, this I would say is like the barbecues. You know, we know that we like barbecues, right? V'chol amim yovilu me'em shay lemora. In other words, when you want to respect someone, you bring them tzayid. You know, let's do a naf-naf kind of thing. V'hoya Esav machnis es aviv. Esav was a chanfan. You know, he wanted to mislead his father by smearing him up. And here the Ramban throws in a phrase. I want you to pay attention to this. The avas ha'av libno habachar kala lahavi, which literally means it's easy to engender the love of your father if you're a bechor. Kala, it's very simple. It would seem to me that the Ramban is saying something here that, again, it may sound strange to our ears, but the Ramban is talking about the Torah. The Torah is takal baraisa bar alma. No, it's anything about teva that we know, that's bastardized. I mean, the original teva is written in the Torah. The Torah determines the teva. Says the Ramban that al pi teva, a father, and even a mother, as we'll soon see, has greater love in a natural tendency for the bechor, the firstborn. Again, you and I could ask, what do you mean? How much older is Esav than Yaakov? Well, was it 60 seconds, 2 minutes, you know, 5 minutes? But nevertheless, Esav is the bechor, and the Torah says that the ava that a father has for bechor is kavua, is stamped, is engraved by the teva, the natural order of the universe, as the Torah describes it. So the love of a parent, in this case of Yitzchak, for his bechor, his firstborn Esav, is absolutely natural. And at this point, if you jump down to the Ramban's comment, which is, let's say, three paragraphs up from the end of your page, in Brachos Chav Zayin, Pasuk Tesvav, and the Ramban points out that not once but twice in the episode of Rivka, the Torah goes out of its way to mention Esav Bino HaGadol, Yaakov Bino HaKotan. Says the Ramban, "V'tam shehizkir hakosav Esav bino agadol v'Yaakov bino akaton." We know that Esav was the oldest son. We know that Yaakov was the younger brother. Lahaflig be'inyan atzadekes, to teach us, to reveal to us the greatness of Rivka, because there's a natural love that a parent has, according to the Torah's teva, for the older child. You know, we say, oh, the younger child gets all the attention, right? I was very happy in my family. I was lucky to be the youngest, right? But not so in the Teva, the Torah. The Torah was Koveh the Metzius. And in that Metzius, we may not feel it. It may be deep within in the recesses of our psyche. But there is a natural tendency to love the first. I always thought you love the first because you feel guilty about all the mistakes you made with the first one. Okay. But here it says something else. There's a natural love. The Torah goes out of its way with regard to Rivka time after time to emphasize that when she prefers Yaakov b'no HaKotan, she has to overcome the natural koichas hateva that are within her. She has to muster up all the energies possible to overcome, for the sake of truth, for the sake of serving Hashem, this episode of transferring the brachos from b'no HaGadol to b'no HaKotan. That's a tremendous achievement on Rivka's part. So number one, when we want the first answer to the question why Yitzchak loves Esav, we have to turn that question, according to Rabban, inside out and ask why Leah loves Yaakov. But the Ramban doesn't stop here. There's a much more fundamental reason, says the Ramban, why Yitzchak prefers Esav. And we're going back to the paragraph on top of your page 2, Vatzayit Asher Hoya Befiv. And now the next paragraph, Umasha Omar Levarech also. Notice that first, before the bracha, he tells Esav, get me mat'amim. I want to eat from your tzad, from your tzeda. And you remember that Esav is preferred by Yitzchak because it's Tzayit Befiv. What's all the emphasis on Tzayit? And the Ramban says something amazing. I am Amish, my hair stood on end when I saw this. I couldn't believe he's saying this. Says the Ramban, why the bracha after the mat'amin? Einenu schar ha'achilu v'shochad b'hem. Don't misunderstand it the way the Ibn Ezra would probably try to fool you that there was a shochad going on, a bribery. You know, after all, Esav was living in the poorhouse of Yitzchak. Yitzchak didn't have a morsel of bread to eat, so Esav would feed his father from the tzayid, and then he would hope to get the bracha. That's not what it's all about, says the Ramban. Aval, but rather what Yitzchak was telling Esav, go to the tzayid, and then I'll bless you. Ratzah lihenos mimenu. He wanted to have some benefit from his son Esav. Shetiyah nafsho, Shura b'nafsho, b'eis ha-hano. Because if I give you a hano, then it's going to create a closer relationship. We become emotionally bonded. It's a bonding experience, I would call it, because of the hano that I gave you. V'yivarech oso b'chefetz molei v'ratzon sholem. Imagine, Esav, on a daily basis, feeds his father. But nevertheless, when the moment of the bracha comes about, and Yitzchak, despite the fact that he's used to getting this kind of treatment from Esav, he needs and he desires another hakar satov, another appreciation, another experience of hana that's going to even further strengthen the bond, make that bond even more profound, to clinch that bracha at that moment. V'yivarech oso b'chefetz molei v'ratzon sholem. It's unbelievable. Now look at the second pshat in the Ramban. It's not only that the Mat'amim is going to clinch that relationship, but now the Ramban is going to reveal to us a secret about why the constant feeding of Yitzchak Avinu from the Seder, and why the love for Esav because he's an Ish Tzayid. Oh means on a deeper level. Shehoye yodea benafsho ki achar ha'achila hoysa misaneges vismecha v'yachol oleha. He's referring to the nefesh. Yodea benafsho ki achar ha'achila hoysa misaneges. He will bring his nefesh to a state of tainug usmecha, and an absolute state of bliss, of joy. V'yachol aleha ruach hakodesh. Now tell me please, again, if you go to Rebbe's Tish, then my question is meaningless. If you married the Bava Rebbe's granddaughter, then you don't have to listen to this. But for those of us who are a little bit on the Litvish side, or even those who are Chassidish but unfortunately fell into Litvish yeshivas, the question is, how do you understand this Ramban? The Ramban is saying, sink your teeth into a juicy piece of meat, fresh, you know, deer that is fresh geschachten, and your nefesh is in a state of tainug and simcha, kidei sheyachol all of ruach hakodesh. Unbelievable, no? But the Ramban proves it. He says this is not the only case where you find it. You find it by David HaMelech, not with regard to eating, but with regard to what? What was the vehicle that brought David HaMelech into the mood for Ruach HaKodesh?
Music.
Ke'inyon v'yata k'chuli menagen. V'hoye k'nagen ha'menagen v'atihi olav yad Hashem. I want to quote to you, you know, I like to quote the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Breida from Chevron Yeshiva, and he says something very amazing. He says, "Kishem shahayu neviim shesalu lekras kabos hanavu al yedei shira v'nigun kach etzel Yitzchak Avinu berom gdulos of v'toar libo hayim misale v'zochel ashras hashchina al yedei ma'acholo v'nei shegam ha'ochel sha'ochal hayakulo ruchni." And he refers back to the Ramban, which we don't have on our page. And the Ramban says over there, and I quote the Ramban, and then he says something amazing about Yitzchak. That Yitzchak had this tremendous desire to constantly be eating from the tzayit. Why? Why would the Ramban say that about Yitzchak? The answer is Yitzchak Avinu Yitzarech Mazon Kidei Lehisromeim Ulisnatek Meolam Hageshem Vilalos Liolam Haruach Lekabalas Hanavua. Yeah, I'll tell you what I would have said if not for the Rosh Yeshiva. I would say, look, if you're hungry, yeah, I always say to my Talmidim, if you're hungry, you can't learn. Because you're not focused. Rabbi said, am I right? If your belly is crying out, I need food, it's very hard to concentrate on anything. Again, if I was a Lubavitcher, which I am, I would tell you that you have to eat to daven, right? But that's not what the Rosh Hashiva is saying. He's saying something totally different. He's not saying that satiate your hunger pains. He's saying that convert that ochel, that maisachila, into something spiritual, and it's meromemes ha-nefesh. It brings the nefesh into a state of oneg, nafshi, ruchani, to simcha. And now you're ready for nevuah. Just like in the Nimshal, David HaMelech is ready for nevuah because the music lifts his heart, his soul, and he's ready for Ruach HaKodesh. Who was the vehicle for Yitzchak to constantly bring him, Yitzchak, into a state of Hashras Hashchim? It was Esav. So Esav has two things going for him, my friends. You know, if you ask the regular classical Talmud Chacham on the street, why did Yitzchak love Esav? I guarantee you they will give you the following answer. Because Esav was the best trickster in the world, and probably tzidkis. You know, he probably wore tzitzis that reached his toes. And he asked his father how to be mafrish meiser min a melach, you know, from salt. And he was mechabed his aviv. He put on his big day chamudos like no other kibbut avraham you've ever seen in your life. And that's the story. The Ramban sees it, it's something much deeper. What Yitzchak saw in Esav was the vehicle for Ashras HaShechina. The Hakaras HaTov, the appreciation that Yitzchak had for Esav is immeasurable. Because what's greater to Yitzchak than achieving this state of Nevuah, of Ashras HaShechina? And the proof of it is that just at the moment that he needed to give the bracha to Esav, the moment of truth, the moment of Shechina, invoking the divine presence, he needed that last shot of bonding, of Ava with Esav. Get me the Mat'am. Of course, if you accept Ibn Ezra, then the whole thing goes down the tubes. Because the whole story of Mat'amim, of Tzedah, of eating meat, is all basically Shochad, because Nebuch, Yitzchak had nothing in the bank account. He didn't have a piece of bread to eat. And if you accept Ibn Ezra, then the whole story of Vayivez, Esav, and Sabachora is all about finances. You know, there's no point to pushing the Bechorah from Esav's point of view, because there's no money in the bank. But once you convert and you transform Bechorah into something spiritual, it's a Mila, it's a Srara, it's passing on the legacy, it's being a chain in the golden link of Klal Yisrael, and if that's what the desire is, then the picture takes on a whole different meaning. Now, I know you have some questions. I'm always nervous about the clock. So what I just want to do, and then we'll open up for questions, is if you take a look on page 2, there are 2 Rambans on the bottom of your page. And in both, the Ramban takes exception to the Mefarshim. If we start backwards, we'll look at the last Ramban on the page. And I'm sorry, the next to the last Ramban. He says, Vayechra Yitzchak Harada Gedolad Ma'od, Ve'ami Eifa Utsai Etzada. And then he says, Gam Baruch Yia. This is Perek of Zion, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So if you take a look, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayechra Yitzchak Harada Gedolad Ma'od, Mi Eifa Hu Atzad Zayin, Vayovil Evyocha Mikol, Gam Baruch Yia. Yitzchak says, who's the one who deceived me? And he will be blessed. So Rashi says, Gam Baruch Yeshalo Tomer Elul Ilulei Sharima Yaakov Avinolo Natas Bchoros. The Torah here wants to testify that the brachos are meaningful, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the bracha, and that's exactly what Yitzchak is saying. That Yitzchak says, you know what? I'm going to give Yaakov the bracha. And the Ramban can't tolerate that pshat. Because it doesn't fit into the whole context of the pasuk. Here's the Ramban putting on his pshuto shel mikra thinking cap. Look at the context. Yitzchak is charet charet gedol miyod. Who is the one who came and stole these brachas? Gam baruch yeah. All of a sudden Yitzchak says, you know what? I think it's a good idea. Let's bestow the brachas. It doesn't make any sense. Va'nachon b'enai, says the Ramban. And you'll see this about 4 lines down in the paragraph, 5 lines down, that he thinks the right way of going here, Shehu Lashon Hove. In other words, he's not talking about the brachas in the future, that they will be fulfilled. But Yomar, what he's trying to say is, Mi Eifu Atzad Tzayid, Asher HaYachal L'Ramoseini Shavarcheu. Yitzchak, in effect, was saying, you know, I got to figure this all out. I got to make some sense out of it. Who actually came? Who hunted and brought me this food? And who deceived me? Ki adati, ki baruch hu. I know that he's going to be blessed. It's not that now I'm going to give him a blessing. I realize that if the blessing was bestowed upon this intruder, then it must be with God's sanction. I had intention to bless Esav, but it must be with God's sanction. And here the Ramban says, "Ki efshar la li." Yitzchak declared, I don't have the possibility. Lahavir abracha mimenu. I cannot take the bracha away from Yaakov once it's been bestowed upon him. And that's what he's telling Esav, the sad news. Ki me'oz shaberach oso. From the very moment that Yitzchak bestowed the blessing upon Yaakov unknowingly, yada, Yitzchak knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, Beruach HaKodesh, Shechola Berchoso Olav. In other words, Yitzchak had no doubt that the bracha was genuine, it came through Ruach HaKodesh, all the preparations were done. If Hashgacha had it, that the bracha should be bestowed upon Yaakov, I'm telling you right now, that bracha is valid. Well, we'll take a break for questions. If anybody has to go, please don't feel embarrassed about it.
Rabbi, when you go back to the first one with this, the Rosh Hashem, I mean, the answer, the next pasuk says that Hashem replied, Shnei Goyim v'Vinei Melech, and it's this whole prophecy. So what was the question? You see, this seems evident that that's what it is. It's a, you can see that in the answer.
So what I'm suggesting, Monty, is the following. That if we understand what prayer is from the Ramban's perspective, we can understand that prayer and prophecy are very closely interrelated. There's a world of difference between them, but there's a fine line of almost overlap, I would say. Just like in prophecy, when a person is confused about the way life is going, and he needs prophecy to give him some sort of a, shed a certain a beam of light on the pattern of events and where they're going to. So too in the case of prayer. That's my pitch. That's what the Ramban is saying about Lidrash Hashem. If you're suffering, and you don't understand the meaning of that suffering, your prayer should not be totally focused on God, alleviate me from the suffering. For sure. That goes without saying. But above and beyond that, and maybe on a more profound level, what prayer is all about, and we really go beyond just a, you know, a simple, again, I shouldn't say simple, that's a bad word, but an excruciating pain. But we look in the broader sense, look at the broad scope and the strokes, and we say, God, give me some insight. When Hashem says, Shnei goyim bevitneich, what Hashem is doing is he's answering the prayers of Rivka. The prayers of Rivka, according to the second interpretation of the Ramban, are not to be understood purely on the level of alleviate my suffering, O God. That for sure. But beyond that, says the Ramban, she was perplexed. She was in a state of fear. She was trembling. What is going on? And there must be some deeper meaning. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu told her, as an answer to her prayers, that what's happening to you is foretelling the entire future, the destiny of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. That, once it happened, said the Ramban, once she understood myself as Simul Abanim, as I called it, that was the clincher, then she suffered no more. There was no point to suffering anymore. The communication was done, the message was transferred over to Rivka. Shalom al Yisrael, there's no need for suffering. Again, that's the Ramban, as I said, wearing his second hat of looking deeper and deeper, revealing layers to us. Ralph?
So
let me just see what Ralph has to say, Monty. I'll be right back. Yeah, Ralph?
If Yitzchak loved Esau because we all thought of Ruach HaKodesh, so what's the language of Vayeh of Yitzchak? It should be more like Rivka or Heves. It should be a continuation. Vayeh implies he loved him because he was a hunter. He's retired from hunting. He doesn't love him anymore. But we're saying that all, he bought him with the Ruach HaKodesh. It should be a lotion of Heves.
Okay, let me think about that. I don't know if I'm so sensitive to the syntax and the difference, you know, Heves and Oev. I would just point out that again, from the Ramban's perspective, the Ava of Yitzchak Tesov goes way beyond our comprehension. In other words, again, if you want to contest against the Ramban and say, look, methodologically, I don't go in for this philosophical stuff. You know, when I eat. I try to eat, you know, l'shem shamayim, so that I'll have koach to learn, to teach, to study Torah, to do mitzvahs, to do chesed. Yeah, that's all wonderful. But to tell me that through the achila, I reach a state of nituk, of being cut off from the physical universe, and reaching into the higher spheres, that's pretty difficult. But you know what, I want to tell you something, Rabosai, and this is my own, you know, this is way beyond the Ramban. This is meta Ramban. I believe that if you ask me, you know, if you ask me what's the essence of Avraham Avinu, I have no problems. He's chesed, pure chesed. When you ask me about the essence of Yaakov Avinu and all the trials and what he experiences, that's the experience of what's called Tiferes. And we can talk about that in a few parshas from now. But if you talk to me about what Yitzchak is, Pachad Yitzchak, I'll tell you what I think it means. And again, you know, nobody has to agree with me. I'm not, this is not... Yitzchak is a person who lives in two worlds. And primarily, he's not in this world. Yitzchak is grounded, if you could use that term, with regard to the heavens, in Shamayim. Yitzchak is the meat of Din, Pachad, because Yitzchak comes from a different world. If you will, Chazal say that he really was shechted on the Akedah. But whatever have you, and whatever version you'll take, Yitzchak is not a man of this world. Yitzchak is the most mysterious person of all the Avos and the Imos, because he lives in a different world. He's in a world of Kedusha, of sanctity. Wherever you see Kedusha, you see Tznius, you see privacy, you see a person who's withdrawn. Kedusha always means, you know, you have the Aron Kodesh as Kedusha, it's covered by a parochas. Then the Sefer Torah is even holier, it's covered by its own mantle, and it's in the Aron. The more holy something is, the more covered it is. Yitzchak represents Kedusha. Yitzchak represents Shamayim. The Shamayim that comes down on this earth. And that's why we don't understand, and I don't think we'll ever understand, what Achila means for Yitzchak. Because Achila for Yitzchak is like an angel coming and eating. And as we discussed at great length a few parshas ago, the Rambam denies that an angel could eat. But whatever it means, Yitzchak comes from another world. And I mentioned to you at the outset that Netziv, who makes a comment that if somebody would say this today, they'd put him in Cherem, and the greatest... The Rosh Yeshiva, the greatest yeshiva in Europe, in the Litvishe Welt, in Valozhin, tells us that the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka as a marriage partnership is radically different than any other relationship that we see in Tanakh. Any other relationship amongst the Avos V'Imos. And as strange as it sounds to our ears, the Netziv says that there's no communication between Yitzchak and Rivka. And why? Pachad. That's his only answer. But I think we're saying it a little deeper. What does Pachad mean? Pachad means that Yitzchak belongs to a different world. We don't understand the spirituality. We cannot get a touch. Eifersh al Yitzchak is on the Mizbeach. I saw the Bar Tanura says, listen to this, and with this we'll close. The Bar Tanura claims that when Rivka encountered Yitzchak for the first time, she saw him coming from Gan Eden. The Pasuk says he came from Be'er L'chai Ro'i, whatever that means. Very mysterious. But according to Bar Tanura, he came from Gan Eden. What was he doing in Gan Eden? I mean, Gan Eden is where we go after this world. I mean, Yitzchak is still in this world. No, he's flying down from Gan Eden. Why? Says the Bar Tanura, because that's where he was healed from the Akedah. So listen, guys, you know, I don't know where, you know, if you're having any troubles, you know, you have back troubles or, you know, different pains, you know, if you have toothaches or, well, I don't see Dr. Moreski, so I don't see we have any doctors here in the audience tonight, I don't know. But whatever it is, you know, we have to find Gan Eden as a place, you know, it's a great place, it's a spa, you know, that could somehow heal you of any ailment. And Yitzchak is being healed because Avraham Avinu slightly punctured him. He cut him a little bit. You know, chop. You know, let me do the mitzvah, Avraham says. You know, a little nick. You know what I mean? A little nick. Alright, speaking of nicks, we'll end here because I told you the famous story about the Rav who comes to Shul and his balabas says to him, Rabbi, you have a cut on your face. What happened? So he said, I was shaving was shaving, I was thinking about my drasha. So the Baal HaBos says to him, listen, Rabbi, I think you should concentrate more on your shaving and cut your drasha. So with that, I'll wish everyone a great week, and thanks so much for coming. It really means a lot to me. It really means a lot to me. Thank you so much.